Welcome back to the Hydrogen Bar. Welcome back to your favorite podcast on hydrogen and fuel cells. As always, I'd like to first welcome my friend Johannes. Hi, Johannes.
Hello, Martin. And we can say also hello to another Johannes. Hello. Johannes Mossov.
Hi.
Hi.
He's our guest for today. Hello, Johannes. It's so nice that you've made it, that you have found the time. It's a great pleasure for us.
It's good to be here from far away.
Thank you very much.
So for our listeners, Johannes is living in Estonia, right? And he has his company that is developing autonomous pods. But maybe you can give a short introduction about yourself and what you're doing.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Johannes Mossov. I'm from Estonia. And I'm one of the founders and the CEO of Alvetec. Alvetec has been around 3 years now. And at first it started from a totally different company who was a dealership at that time in Estonia, selling Mercedeses in Baltic States. And we had an idea that to make together with Tallinn Technical University one autonomous vehicle, which at first we didn't thought of it as a business project, but in 1 year we made the first prototype of vehicle and showed it to public in Estonia when we rode around with the Finnish former prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, really, Alvetec was born, and because we saw that there is a really good business possibilities, because as it is every day seeing at the moment with the COVID time and overall the public transport, that the needs in Europe and other countries with different drivers, especially last mile, is needed every day more and more. And that's why we went more forward with our vehicles. And again, in last year, we produced almost 15 vehicles and had quite a lot of many projects in Greece, Estonia, and Finland, where we had street legal vehicles already operating for an end client. And the overall idea with why we're doing it, we're seeing that one thing is to make a regular passenger vehicle as economical and green as possible, but still you need quite a lot of personal vehicles. And in that matter, we are seeing that it's a lot better to make a public transport a lot more comfortable and faster, thanks to providing the last mile transport, which can get behind your home door and getting you, for example, in a train and bus, which means that the overall CO2 levels and the economics in the transport is a lot lower. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have concentrating at the moment with the small up to 8 passengers vehicles, which most of the street legal vehicles are at the moment battery driven. Again, we have one first hydrogen vehicle also. I think that's an overall. We have about 60 people in house, so all the development and also the manufacturing side is in house. And the main purpose is that with autonomous driving, the technology for us is changing so fastly that we have to have development and some of the manufacturing parts in-house to really be as flexible as possible to the changes in the business and also the hardware which we are using in the vehicles. And that this year, I think people can see us also in Germany. In France, we have a couple of projects, Norway, Finland, and a couple of countries more.
Mm-hmm. So some people are saying or have the idea that our way we are doing mobility in the future will change rapidly or strongly. they often think or say that we will move away from personal or individual mobility and more towards public transport on like buses, trains and so on. So if understood,
I just want to really comment the change in the thinking of about the personal vehicle. Mm-hmm. When I'm thinking about my grandfather who bought the vehicle about 50 years ago, then he really thought that this is a car for end of his life.
Yes.
Because it was such an investment. When I'm thinking my parents, then for them the vehicles are possible to be free and travel whenever you want. But really seeing a more younger generation than for them a personal vehicle is something which is totally no importance in everyday life, because this is just something which holds them down and it does not let you travel around free, but it gives you some constraints when moving around to different countries to study, to work and so on.
Yeah,
that is a very interesting view, and I mean it will surely develop much further in the view of the public. Nevertheless, you said this autonomous pod is more thought for the last mile transport. So yeah. Do you think then this like autonomous transport will also go in this long range transport, or do you see then the future more in the public transport and then the autonomous driving will occupy this, the last mile, the neighborhood commute and so on?
I think both of these ways are possible. It's just for us because we want to be the first ones who are really economically usable for end client, and I think just the last mile business in autonomous world is the first place to do it. So when really thinking about for example Waymo operating in the USA, then I quite definitely say that it's not really an economical business yet, and it takes definitely a couple of years to really be usable every day. But for us, the last mile business, thanks to a lower speed, which helps us with the development work, it does not really be like a couple of hundred millions of development costs. It's a lot more usable already, and it does not have to cost so much that that for end client can't really pay for that. So it's step by step. Last mile, I think, would be the first place. Then maybe a long-range trucks, buses, and I think the personal vehicles or taxis can be somewhere in the middle of that. Because the world is the traffic is so crazy around the world that that really thinking that maybe in a quiet Finnish or German town we can get the vehicles driving in every public road, but every area is a little bit different, and some places are quite impossible.
Okay, so for the future, you are also looking into like more heavy duty vehicles, maybe. Would that be the reason why you have
for us? We are trying to concentrate only the last mile.
I see.
I think
right.
Just others. Okay. Others are more going in the long range. We are really only concentrated on last mile.
Okay, so that was a misunderstanding. Sorry for that. But my question was, when you are focusing on the last mile, and of course I checked how your vehicle looks like on the internet a bit, and it looks quite small actually. Of course, it's a very small vehicle. So I was wondering, what is the reason for you to say that, okay, a hydrogen would make sense in such an application? Because normally, of course, when we were talking about those small and self-driving vehicles, we normally speak about battery electric vehicles. You also have a battery electric version in your portfolio, of course, but you also are thinking towards hydrogen. Why is that?
So it's really mainly on the experience which we have already from the projects which we have been operating. A really good to show why hydrogen or other similar technologies are important is mainly because the energy usage and the charging times. For our battery version of the vehicle, we can operate up to 8 hours in an area, which is usually a diameter of maximum 2 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And in this area, because you have a small bus and the doors are opening quite often because you have a lot of stops in the area, then you need quite a lot of energy on air conditioning and heating of the cabin.
I see, right. Mm-hmm.
And this is giving us that operating regularly in like today we have 20 degrees in Estonia, that we could operate up to 8 hours and then we need about 1 hour of charging.
Mm-hmm.
But with the really hot or really cold days, it it can be five or six hours.
Mm-hmm.
But again, showing that autonomous transport is quite expensive, then we are looking for a first possible ways to get it really useful for end client. And for that, it's really needed that the vehicles are operating as much as possible and you don't need an extra vehicle to operate when some vehicles are charging. Mm-hmm. For example, in a project where you have possibility to operate 24/7, like for example, manufacturing areas, harbors and airports where these vehicles could be, they also really useful, then with the battery vehicles, it just could be too expensive in the future. So hydrogen vehicle lets us to drive our vehicles a lot longer. For example, our vehicle at the moment can operate up to 10 hours and then the charging time is 1 to 2 minutes in a route. So it's just an experience that we need something like that. And I'm quite sure that in a year, we have to make a real production of hydrogen version of the vehicles also, because it gets the costs down of our solution.
So the usage of these pods is really so extended during the day, because like in my naive thinking, I would say, okay, in the morning there is some usage for the commuters.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically maybe around lunchtime for the people who work maybe half day or so. And mm-hmm. then in between and in the afternoon you have not so much demand for this, but is this from your experience not the case, that it's really like used 20 hours a day?
Yeah, the operations, which there is definitely different areas. That's why also I'm thinking that in the future, just with our last mile business, some areas, battery managed projects, with the battery vehicles, it's better to use them, and in some places hydrogen. But we are just seeing that with the hydrogen, we can get the most economics in a project where you need 24/7 or constant daylight operating. Again, like I said, manufacturing sites and harbors and so on, similarities.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely some places you need mostly in the mornings, afternoons operating the vehicle, then definitely the hydrogen might not be the ideal solution or the most economical.
Yeah, I see. Mm. What is the status of your battery electric version and your hydrogen electric version? Is one of these versions in production already, or what is the status?
The battery version vehicle is in the manufacturing, but in a quite small scale. We are really pushing next year up to 50 vehicles a year in one manufacturing site. If, for example, one area wants also more vehicles, then we can get the last manufacturing job on site to really not make such a cost in the transport. But the hydrogen vehicle, we really have to see, because we came out with the vehicle about a month ago, and now really looking for impression from the clients, what is the need for them, and how many we really should manufacture them. This is again a first step in our business, and we are really pushing that in the next year we can get the deployment and the vehicles in a level that we can also go a mass manufacturing, not really compared with regular vehicles, but first starting up to 1,000 vehicles a year and so on. Yeah, but just for business side, I think when we started with the hydrogen project, we started about 1.5 years ago, was the first thinking about we need a hydrogen solution. And we got together with an university in Estonia, which is located in Tartu, and we would have the possibility to just buy for some contractor an already made fuel cell to add in the vehicles. But we really saw that to really understand the system in a technical scale also a little bit better, then we cooperated with Tartu University. And we was a really, it showed quite nicely that they were able to produce one prototype for us, and also for them it was quite interesting, because before that they were only developing in the laboratory in a small scale their stacks. And from a ground up, from a base materials in their university, and we also with them we got the possibility to produce a really first stack of low temperature fuel cell in Estonia locally, and that's what gave us our own development department also a lot more understanding how the system works, what are the dangers, what do we have to look into more and so on. So yeah, this was also quite interesting that we went this way with the hydrogen system.
What do you would you say are the or have been the challenges in developing this complete fuel cell system there yourself?
I think the main things was scaling up the system power from the laboratory where they really worked before that in maybe a couple of watts of power, and now the system is 3 kilowatts, which is just getting it scaled up gives a lot of different problems. Is it problems with some electronic side? Is it there a problem that there is some strange stuff in the hydrogen which really burnt down a couple of first prototypes and so on? So quite a lot of testing and understanding how it can be worked on, and yeah.
What are your plans for a storage of hydrogen? I assume you will use gaseous hydrogen, right? Will that be at 350 bars or at 700 bars?
So at the moment in the vehicle we have 300 bars.
Right.
And we are seeing that with the energy consumption which we have at 300 bars with the package which we can put in the vehicle is quite more than enough for us.
Right.
I think maybe in the future if a cost of a 600 or 700 bar system gets lower, then maybe it's a system which we can use, but at the moment the 300 bar is okay, and also the As I said, the system, the fuel cell is only 3 kilowatts.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows that we have also a separate battery system, which just keeps the usage of fuel cell in the constant level. So we don't have so much up and downs. And it's also good for the lifetime of the fuel cell.
Yeah.
And for us, the integration, it's also not really a big part, because everything after the fuel cell is our regular battery vehicle.
Yeah,
just
right.
The battery is removed, the smaller one is besides that.
Yeah. What is your storage capacity in terms of weight for the hydrogen? So is this few kilograms maybe, or what is this?
I can't say by heart, but I can say that there is about 300 bar, and was about 60 liters.
I see.
Or 8
right. Okay.
Liters.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So not really a big weight, because compared with the battery version, the weight of the vehicle went down about 50 to 60 kilograms.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm. The typical problem in the fuel cell cars is often this refueling. That, I mean, you probably do not go with these pods to a kind of open refueling station. Do your project partners then need to set up their specific infrastructure?
Mm-hmm. So, in the future also, if choosing the projects, then definitely a local hydrogen tanking system is needed. But at the moment, we have used our own local, how to say, a balloon system, where it is just a trailer with some hydrogen compartment inside, and from that we're refueling. We have also one like local certified hydrogen tanking system in Estonia. This is also just connectable with our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But still, it's how to say, in Estonia we usually say it's a story about an egg and chicken, that which comes first.
Yeah.
And the hydrogen, it's definitely, we have the hydrogen vehicle, but we also need somewhere to get the hydrogen.
Yeah, one solution for that egg and chicken problem that you're hearing sometimes is that if a company wants to do hydrogen vehicles, it would also have to do hydrogen refueling stations. So this is, for example, what Nikola is doing right now. So that's, of course, another scale. Oh, that's not really, of course, comparable to what you are doing. But of course, the idea could make sense, right? That you are not only providing vehicles, but also would provide refueling stations. Would that be a thing that you think would make sense for you as well? Or is this not in your scope right now?
Not really in our scope, and mainly thinking that this can be a cooperation with another company.
Mm-hmm.
Because, really, really don't want to go in that. And also, as it is with the hydrogen, I think the biggest problem at the moment that comparing the prices with hydrogen with regular vehicles or electric vehicles, it's quite a pricey transport. But hydrogen needs quite a lot of scaling.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand correctly, then in Japan and Germany are a couple of places where there has been a scaled up project where you can really see that the price point of hydrogen is so much lower that it can be comparable with other fueling systems. But what with our vehicles, as they are quite small, then only with that telling that we are needing a huge hydrogen tanking, then it's I don't think that these things are going together.
Right.
One more question regarding this refueling. It's like for the charging of the electric pods, I could imagine too that this happens also autonomously, like with wireless charging, for example, that then this mm-hmm. pod drives on the charging platform, and then basically nobody needs to take care of this. Can you do something like this in Hytrend as well? Or would you need there then people to put in the nozzle, basically?
Mm-hmm. At first, definitely manually using the nozzle. But I think in some time, definitely it's needed some automatical system. But seeing at the moment that if we can operate 10 hours a row with the vehicle, which is used by every different people, then maybe it's a good thing that every 10 hours there is somebody physically looking inside the vehicle, that we still have stools to sit and, yeah. and really to hold to stay, and we have wheels on the car, and also at the same time put some hydrogen in the vehicle.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right. Yeah. Mm. Well, you would necessarily have to do some kind of maintenance and the cleaning, maybe. And mm-hmm. so you always have the chance to refuel the car. When you do that. Okay. Well, thank you very much for those insights, Johannes. We'll continue our discussions next week. Mm-hmm. For this week, we have reached our time limit once again, unfortunately. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for providing those insights. And I really look forward to continue our discussion next week.
Yeah, thank you very much.
If for our listeners, if you want to reach out to us, have feedback or questions also to Johannes, feel free to go to our website and just contact us via the form there, www.hydrogenbar.net. And for this, hear you next week, right?
Hear you next week. Goodbye.